Last week we talked about being of one accord. If you didn't hear it, it is on the internet. This time I want to talk about live life with passion. Because I've been noticing in the new year that a lot of people in a lot of places in our world have a lot of passion. Football games. You know, if you're a football fan, New Year's is the time. There's a bowl game every day in America. There's football games going on all over, football, not soccer, all over the place during Christmas and New Year's. New Year's Eve, if you wanted to, you could watch the passion of the people starting in Australia, working the way around the world. You could have New Year's Eve every hour on the hour. At 25 below zero in downtown Toronto, outdoors, we had the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Detroit Red Wings. 100 years celebration of the Maple Leafs existing. Passion. You want passion? Talk about Trump bumps. You can talk about President-elect Donald Trump, and you'll have passion one way or the other. And of course, entertainment news. We had movie stars die all year, and now they're reviewing their lives, and Princess Leia died, and then the next day her mother died, and there's all this passion being poured out on it. When someone goes overboard in their passion for someone or something in the world, they're called fans. When a believer goes overboard and has passion for Jesus, they're called fanatics. Stupid, crazy, religious. That's really sad. But that's not really a problem, because most Christians don't have very much passion for anything. Passion is a very interesting concept in our lives, and it's a very important thing in our lives. If you go to Amazon.com, you'll find hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of books that promote passion, and actually have passion in the titles. If you Google the word passion, you'll find thousands of titles of papers and books on passion. Titles like A Passion for Alligators, A Passion for Artichokes, A Passion for Birds, A Passion for Castles, A Passion for Chocolate, A Passion for Fashion, A Passion for Fly Fishing, A Passion for Flying, A Passion for Gardening, A Passion for Golf. That's a stupid thing. A Passion for Hang Gliding, A Passion for Hunting, and A Passion for Jazz. And it just keeps going and going. A Passion for Needlepoint, A Passion for Ponies, A Passion for Potatoes. That's what you've always wanted, a passion for potatoes. It's almost as if we think it's appropriate to get excited and be enthusiastic and have passion for anything, everything in life, except God. And then we need to be religious and conservative and suck lemons like we, you know, look like you got baptized in lemon juice. Jesus was very clear about passion. This guy came to Jesus during his ministry and said to Jesus, look, I'm too busy to read the whole Bible and I missed the movie when it came out. So could you summarize the story of the Bible for me? Is there a point to this whole thing that you preach? And Jesus responded by giving a summary of the whole Bible. Look at it in your notes, Mark chapter 12. You shall love the Lord your God with, circle it, all your heart. That means passion. There's no room for something else. Passion. All of your soul and all of your mind and with all of your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. And if you were to read that in the original language, there's passion. Lots of passion behind that comment that Jesus makes. You can feel the passion. And it's passion repeated in the word all. Jesus is saying, here's the summary of the whole Bible. With everything you are, with great passion, you're to love God and serve God. And because you do that, then you love people and serve people so that they will come to know the God that you're passionate about. So that got me thinking, what's the greatest sin in the Bible? The greatest sin is listed in the third chapter of the book of Revelation. Jesus said he'd rather have you hot or cold rather than to have you lukewarm. In other words, you can totally hate him and have no passion for him. That's good. That's okay. Or you can be on fire for him and have all the passion in the world. That's good. That's okay. But don't you dare sit on the fence and be lukewarm. Because that's a sin. You've either got to be for him or against him, with passion on either side. The Bible says if you're lukewarm, God's going to vomit you. That's what the original Greek says. Vomit you, not spit you. Vomit you out of his mouth. That's got passion involved in it as well. So the greatest sin is being disinterested in God and apathetic about the Word of God, the Bible. C.S. Lewis said, Christianity is a statement which, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. So it's either cold or hot. William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, he was crazy. He was a fanatic. He was on fire with passion. He said, the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. We're there. Listen to most of the preaching. That exactly describes everything you'll hear on television and radio. The world has never been changed by people who don't have passion. It's never changed by the smartest, the wealthiest, the most educated, or the most beautiful people. It's always been changed. The world has always been altered and impacted by people who have passion. Mother Teresa. Do you know that as far as we can see in all of her writing, she wasn't saved? She wasn't born again? She was not, had no assurance of God's love for her? She was working her heart out to please God to see if she could get herself into heaven. But she had passion, and that's why she's known, even after her death. Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., Florence Nightingale, Billy Graham, the Apostle Paul, King David, they were fueled by passion. It kept them moving. At some point in their lives, they decided, life is too short to waste. There are things that matter, and I'm going to give my life to making a difference, to making things happen. Because nothing is accomplished in your world or mine without passion. You can know the whole Bible. You can know every principle, every story, every command. But if you have no passion, nothing will change. Zip, nada, zilch, nothing, zero. So passion is a fuel that should energize us. It's what makes you feel alive inside. It's vibrant, it's dynamic, it's exciting. You know what the Bible says? In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him there's life. There's... Anybody got life? Without passion, by example, I can tell you this, by experience, without passion, your life becomes dull, drab, boring, and routine. That would describe a lot of Christians. Problem is, passion is easy to lose. It's easy to wake up one morning and realize you don't have any passion. Or you have passion for the wrong thing. So here's the equation for passion. It works in every nation. If it's new, new equals passion. I'll prove it to you. A new car owner gets all fired up about the new car. I mean, the car gets washed every 30 minutes. They park it 3 blocks away from any other car so it doesn't get scratched or dented or touched. Nobody else gets to drive it because they're passionate about the new car. That lasts for a while. And then when the new car smell wears off, the thing becomes either a filing cabinet or a garbage container because you look where the passengers don't sit and it's full of coffee cups. All new parents get passionate. I mean, they're fired up with passion. All of their conversations are focused on the new baby. They take pictures every minute. They show you pictures of the baby every minute. That lasts for a while. When the third kid comes along, one day he asks the question, how come there's no pictures of me? Well, because the passion died. Everything new is fired up, lived with passion. Open a restaurant, new restaurant. They'll stand outside to get into this new restaurant. People stand in line to buy a new iPhone. There's nothing wrong with the old one. New movies sell out online. You can't even go to the theater to buy the ticket. It's already sold out. Everything new has passion. When you got saved, I'll use me as an example. When I got saved, I was passionate. When I first learned the truth of the gospel, that you could be saved and go to heaven, I told everybody, whether they wanted to hear it or not. When I first learned that every sin I ever committed, am committing, or ever will commit, forgiven. Whoa! When you first learned that God has a purpose for your life, wants you to do something for Him. When you first learn the deep meaning and significance of your life, when you first learn that you have a personal relationship with, you're going to hear God, the God who created the universe. Did you know they just found another whole galaxy and it's right near ours? They didn't even know it existed. Maybe He just created it. I don't know. But I get to talk to Him. You get passionate when you first learn all these things. They last for a while, and then you slowly run out of gas. Your heart grows cold. Conviction is replaced by complacency. Enjoying God gets replaced by enduring life. Life sucks. Then you die. After a while, there's no spark. There's no vision. There's no excitement. There's no faith. There's no enthusiasm. There's no passion. There's no willingness to risk. Now, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. All of that loses its meaning if you don't have passion. So I know a lot of Christians in a lot of countries. They're like the walking dead, you know, Christian zombies. So I think it's time for a lot of Christians, 2017, to meet Jesus, the real Jesus, the Jesus that wants you fully alive. The Jesus is in the Bible, not the Jesus that's preached in most churches. That might help you to get your passion back. It might help you to get some hope for the new year. You might need to let go of your past and hear what God has to say, because God's always saying, get up, get up, get up. I'll help you. Get up. Let's move forward. We're in danger of wasting the one life that we get. We really are. If you don't find passion and you don't come fully alive, you will waste your life. And this ain't a dress rehearsal. We don't get to do this twice. It's done when you're dead. So let's get it right the first time. So you can get a fire in your heart that will never go out. Paul the Apostle warns us about losing our passion. In your notes, Romans chapter 12, verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. When I first read that years ago, I looked up all the Greek meanings of all the words in that sentence, and I wrote it out in my Bible the way it really should read. It's there in your notes. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame, cheerfully expectant. Don't burn out. Religion will burn you out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. The key word there is keep. Keep. That means it's not automatic. That means that's something you need to do. The good news, however, is that if you can lose your passion, you can gain it back. Your choice. So Jesus taught how to gain it back. He taught six principles for keeping the fire alive. He taught six principles, and I'm going to go through them quickly, to help you to regain your passion, or if you've got passion, to increase it. 6 ways to avoid becoming old, cranky, boring, and an uptight grown up. Number 1. Jesus knows that you're better off being young. Thinking young. Acting young. Living young. I work with young people around the world. I'm almost 70. I work with young people, 16 to 36. I'm in touch with them every day. And they constantly hear me say, on the inside, I'm 19. On the outside, I'm having a little trouble keeping up with the inside, but inside, I'm 19. We need to be young. Life is in front of us. God's given it to us abundantly. Speaking to adults, Jesus said in Matthew 18, unless you change, stop being boring adults, and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Stop being so dead serious about life. The cemetery is full of people who are dead serious about life. You're not going to get out of it alive. So enjoy it. So Jesus is speaking to old, respectable, rule-keeping, tradition-bound, boring religious leaders. And that's when he said those words. Unless you change and become like little children. Isn't that interesting? Because God was born as a baby. God became a little kid. What's a little child like? Let me give you some idea. They're young. They're delightful. They're trusting, they're dependent, they're moldable, they're teachable, they're non-judgmental, they're not opinionated, they are accepting, loving, gentle, gracious, and very much alive. I know, I have 12 grandchildren. That's how we're to live life. That's how we're to walk out our walk with Jesus. We are to be, on the inside at least, young, delightful, trusting, dependent, moldable, teachable, non-judgmental, not opinionated, don't reject people, accept people, loving, gentle, gracious, and alive. Does that sound like most Christians you know? Not me. Second thing Jesus said, strange as it may be, is he knows that you're better off dead. Jesus said, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In essence, Jesus is saying, you're better off dead. Isn't that nice? Boy, some PR firm would be coming to Jesus if he was alive and walking the earth today and saying, you know, that's not a good recruiting slogan. You're not getting a lot of people joining your cause. They'd be wrong. Every terrorist organization on the planet says, join us, die for the cause. And they're joining. They line up. They stole a piece of our book. They say, come, follow us, die. And they do. Jesus is saying, a life of following him is built on a foundation of dying to yourself. That's a paradox, new word I learned. That's a paradox. You see, dying to self looks like it's going to lead to a life of emptiness and loss, and you're going to be bored. And no, dying to self in reality leads you to a life of joy and freedom. I'll prove it to you. Dead people have no stress. Dead people are not enslaved by addictive behaviors. Dead people are not weighed down by worry. Dead people don't gossip. There's a novelty. Dead people don't judge, criticize, or condemn and reject people. Dead people are never jealous. Dead people don't focus on and talk about themselves all the time. Dead people don't fight for their rights because dead people don't have any rights. Dead people don't lie. Dead people don't sin. Look at the Bible. Dead to sin, alive to God. If we learn how to die to self, we would find liberty and life. That's all Jesus is saying there. Don't read anything else into it. Die to yourself, and you'll be more alive than you've ever been. Number three, third way for your passion to increase or come back is he knows that you're better off dependent. Jesus said, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Dependent is a matter of trusting. So when you stop depending on God, that means you stop trusting in God and you start trusting in your own wisdom. How's that working out for you? When you start depending on yourself, guaranteed, you will live with stress, worry, anxiety, eventually frustration, and serious regret. Passion, when you depend on yourself, passion is replaced by pressure and eventually by panic. So Jesus says, if you want passion, you need to be dependent on me. The problem with that is our whole world teaches us to be independent. Not trust people, don't rely on people. They'll fail you every time. They probably will, by the way. We're taught to jump, in North America, we're taught to, you know, like the Lone Ranger, get on your horse and ride into the sunset, you and your best friend, the horse. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. So if you want to experience life and live a vibrant and dynamic life, we need to learn to trust, depend on, be dependent on God in all aspects of life. And on hearing him in all things and for all things. And that's really difficult. That flies in the face of the culture we live in. Fourth thing Jesus said, if you want to increase your passion or gain it back for the first time in a long time, he knows that you are, and I'm sorry, there's an A missing in your printout for the word are. Jesus knows you're better off connected. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. So here's a passion-defining question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are right now? Has there ever been a time when you have felt and known that you were closer to God than you are right now? And if the answer is yes, what happened? I asked a whole pile of Christians, some new ones, some old timers like me. I asked them that question, and the answer by every person was yes. My next question when I asked was, what happened? They didn't know. The third question was, how are you going to fix it? And they didn't know. Wow, you lost your passion for God. You're living with worry, anxiety, frustration, and panic. You know that it's got something better. God has something better planned for you. And you haven't figured out how to get it yet? So here's some questions. Why don't you feel the passion that you used to feel? Why don't you feel the same excitement about what you do in life for a job that you used to feel? Why don't you feel the same enthusiasm about your walk with God that you used to? Why are you not as close to God and as on fire for God as you once were? Why does your relationship with Jesus most times seem so stale and so distant and so cold and so repetitive? Why does your life lack a sense of urgency? Passion would cause that kind of urgency. You gotta do it now. Life is good. Usually we lose passion simply because we lost connection. Jesus knows you're better off connected. Excuse me, an unplugged appliance doesn't work. It may be a wonderful toaster, but if you don't plug it in, it doesn't work. Untended fire soon becomes nothing but a pile of ashes. When I first got born again many years ago, There was a famous saying that went around. I have no idea who said it. And this was it. Many are born again in the fires of revival, and they're now living in the ashes. What happened to the fire? Another saying that went around 35, 40 years ago. If you feel far from God, guess who moved? Another saying that went around 40 years ago. You are as close to God as you choose to be. Secret number 5 to grow passion in your life. Jesus knows you're better off future focused. Jesus said, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So here's the truth that comes out of that. What a person believes about their future is more important than anything that has happened in their past or anything that is happening in their present. The only people I know anywhere in the world who have a sustainable, positive, long-term joy and passion are those who are looking to the future, who believe that every day they wake up, God has something different and new and wonderful for them to accomplish. They're not looking back. They're looking forward. I make goals every year, 3 pages worth. Last year I accomplished about 75% of them, I think. I worked it out the other day. And I have a whole new set, and I carried forward the ones that I screwed up or didn't even think about and remember that I'd written them. You should try it. I made all these goals last year, 2016, the end of 2015. And one day when I was reviewing them before I was going to finalize and print them, God said, and so, where am I in those goals? Ugh. So I went back, and at the top of the list, I put God goals. And I listed 4 countries that I've never been to that I thought God might want me to go to, but even if he didn't, I wanted to go to. And then I listed a bunch of other things that unless God showed up or did something or moved mountains that aren't ever going to happen. They've all taken place. Because I was looking to the future. I wanted to go visit and minister in the country of Georgia. It is actually a country, not just a state in America. I will be there in April. I wanted to go to the country of Azerbaijan. I'm going to be there this year. I wanted to go to the country of Israel. I got invited to the country of Israel. I don't even know people there. I met somebody in Russia who happens to be from Israel. And they invited me to come and minister. But these were goals I set because I'm looking to the future. What do you believe in God for? Nothing. Well, you'll get it then. Trust me. Be it done unto you according to your faith. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. What are you believing for? So here's my question. Do you have any future dreams? Do you have amazing things you want to accomplish and do for God? Do you have something big that can never happen unless God steps in? I just love being around people who are excited about the future. Most of them live in abject poverty and military states and under dictatorships. And here we are in freedom. When you wake up in the morning, you just got to believe that God is still going to work. Better yet, that he's going to do something tomorrow through you. And then that passion will come back. There's a retired advertising executive, Whit Hobbs, and he wrote this. Success is waking up in the morning, whoever you are, wherever you are, however old or young, bounding out of bed because there's something out there that you love to do, that you believe in, that you're good at, something that's bigger than you are, and you can hardly wait to get at it again today. It's something you'd rather do, something you'd rather be doing than anything else. You wouldn't give it up for more money because it means more to you than money. And hopefully it's something that makes the world a better place for someone else as well as for you. That's future focus. Last but not least, number 6, above all else, Jesus knows you're never better off self-absorbed. Take your focus off your neighbor. So many Christians, I don't know what they're looking at, but self-absorbed. Jesus said, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. Listen to that verse. He's saying it to a Jewish young man who is very rich. If you wish to be complete, full, whole, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. That young man knew something that you probably don't recognize, or if you do, you've forgotten. In the Bible, Old Testament, Book of Proverbs, it says, if you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay. So he's literally saying to this young man, trust God, sell everything, give it away to the poor, and trust that God will repay you and take care of you. And the rich young man couldn't do it, because he was too self-absorbed. In North America, we are self-absorbed. We should be the happiest people in history. We've never had people who have more comforts than we now live with here in North America. So here's my question. How come the suicide rate is skyrocketing? Suicide is the second leading cause of death among young adults, 15 to 24. Sales of antidepressant drugs went through the roof. Why? Because people have everything except something worth living for. People without purpose lack passion. Purpose and passion go together. If you have a purpose, it will create passion. So the only people I know who are genuinely happy in their lives are people with purpose. They're connected, they have a future dream, they know what God's asking them to do, and their passion overcomes all obstacles. Because nothing is too big for God to move out of the way. All things are possible with God. Your enthusiasm is overwhelming. So here's a story of Robert Reed. I don't know him, but Max Lucado tells a story about him. He stood up one day and he said, I have everything I need for joy. His hands are twisted and his feet are useless. Robert has cerebral palsy. The disease keeps him from driving a car, riding a bike, even going for a walk. But the disease didn't keep him from attending Abilene Christian University and graduating. And the disease didn't prevent him from becoming a missionary to Portugal. He moved to Lisbon alone, by himself, in 1972. Within 6 years, he had led 70 people to Jesus, alone, by himself. Max Lucado writes, I heard Robert speak recently. I watched people in the audience wipe away tears of admiration. Robert could have asked for sympathy or pity, but he held up his bent hand into the air and he boasted, I have everything I need for joy. Max Lucado goes on to say, his shirts are held together by Velcro, but his life is held together by joy. He has purpose and he's other focused. So in 2017, here's what I decided. You do what you want with 2017. Maybe because I'm going to be 70 soon, I'm looking to do more than I've ever done in every year. I'm trying to pack more of life into each year. I want to learn how to live life with more passion than I had in 2016. Passion that will take me into all the rest of the world if necessary, just to win one person, if possible. Passion that will empower me to talk to every person I meet every day about Jesus. Because he's all that matters. Because without him, you don't have an eternity. You're going to hell. That's my biggest goal, is to live on fire, more alive, more passionate, more enthusiastic, more excited, more go, go, go. A friend of mine runs a conference. The conference is called Thrive. A lot of young people come to it. In fact, last year, 3,000 young people came to it. And the purpose of the conference is to inspire everyone to catch a future special vision for their ministry, for their life, for who they are. And to live that vision for themselves with simple passion. Just go for it! This past year, they wanted to demonstrate in a simple way the power to impact a person's life, to encourage a person, and to show grace, to show God's grace. They wanted simple passion. And so he stood up in front of 3,000 young people and took his cell phone out and he called a local pizza parlor and ordered one pizza. Just one for 3,000 people. And then the leader, who's the pastor, told the crowd, whoever delivers this pizza, we're going to give them a tip that they never expected. We're going to pass the buckets, and if you'd like to tip the pizza delivery person, please put the money in the bucket. There will be no tax receipts. And they passed the buckets. A young woman arrived with the pizza. They walked her up on stage, and everybody gave her a standing ovation. She was overwhelmed. She was stunned. They found out that her husband had recently left the military, was doing okay, had gone through some medical issues, and was now in school studying to be a teacher, a high school teacher. That they had moved into the area where the local church is located to take care of an ailing grandparent. That they didn't have a church home. That they didn't really believe in a God. They took delivery of the pizza. It was a small pizza. And they gave her the tip. It totaled $3,469. And she started to cry and fell on the stage, weeping. Pastor told her when she got up that he hoped that they had given her more than money. That they, he said, I hope that this is a sign for you, from God, that you matter to him more than you think and more than ever you have known before, and that he has better days ahead for you than those that have been behind you. And she cried all the way off stage. 3 days later, she brought the entire staff, it's a big church, she brought the entire staff of the church homemade cookies because now she could afford them. By the way, it's a Guinness Book of Records for the single largest tip for any pizza delivery. That tip is changing the life of a phenomenal couple new to a community where the church building is located. And, listen, it has become the favorite story of 3,000 people who have learned how simple it is to be driven by passion. What they learned was that if they wanted to have passion, they had to live with compassion. You have to have the heart of God for people. You have to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you can't love yourself unless you love God with your whole heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. They learned that out of their love for God and themselves, the compassion of God for people would allow them to live with passion. So how's your passion level? You're starting a new year. You're celebrating a year that God gave you. You could be dead, but God chose to keep you alive. You're celebrating the life that God has given to you and the opportunities, and there'll be many that he's going to open up in this year for you to touch and change lives in his name. So how's your passion level? Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. You need to live that life with passion. Otherwise, you're going to become a very old, very grouchy, self-centered, egotistical, arrogant, rude, and boring old person. And none of us want that. We don't want you to be like that, and you don't want to be like that. So let's make a decision sometime in this coming week to be that 2017 would be a year when you walk in a new way with Jesus. Because it's Jesus who wants you to be fully alive. It's Jesus that wants you to have passion built from compassion. It's not complicated. It's difficult. It's not complicated. So let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that you have set forth for us a way for us to be on fire, to be fueled and aflamed, and to keep the fire burning all the time, hotter and hotter. Thank you that you have given us the opportunity not to be cold or even lukewarm, but to always be hot for you, passionate about you. I ask that you'd help us to look at our lives, take a few minutes tonight before we go to bed, and we would examine who we are and how we've lived this past year that you gave us, and that we'd make some very quality decisions to take some steps forward to live more of life for you and with you, and that you would help us to see the things that need to be changed in us so that passion would rule, that we would be on fire for God and for his kingdom, and that we would, as we saw last week, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these other things we worry about and are anxious over and fret about, all these other things would be added onto us. So I pray that you'd help us to take seriously what you've spoken to us tonight, that we would look at our level of passion and we would turn the burner up so that we would be hot and passionate, excited, enthusiastic, engaged, committed, even, as the word says, violent, because the violent take the kingdom by force. Help us not to be passive, but to be spiritually aggressive in this new year. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And someone said, Amen. Amen.